Welcome to Childcare Conversations with Kate and Carrie.
All right. So episode two, well, probably episode 197, but the second in the series, working and being an advocate. So what we want to talk about today or look at today, or at least the goal is, to kind of talk a little bit about when and where we're going to advocate. What does this mean? If you didn't hear us last episode, so we'll do a really short synopsis on what does it mean? What is advocacy? Why should we be doing some advocacy? As an early childhood professional, you are not a babysitter. One thing that makes you a professional is that you do have a voice, and that voice is very, very important when it comes to impacting the children and your business. When it comes to being an early child care professional and an organization, business, all of the above. So,
so we need to hang on. So that means that we need to speak up for our business and our children, which means educating people in your community first. So the parents at your center, your friends, your family, and then taking it a step further and being an advocate with industry leaders, with legislators, with policymakers. Okay. So that's the next step. So identify that you have a voice is the first step. The second step is advocate in your personal circle. And the third step is advocate with people who have the ability to make a difference.
Absolutely. Okay. So, and in Texas, advocating is actually educating. So the part of the reason that we use this term and we start talking about it a little differently is most states have kind of some rules related to specifically 501c3s. And so nonprofit organizations, what they can and cannot do and still maintain their status.
So they can't lobby, but they can advocate and they can educate. So right. Don't lobby. You're not going to lobby if you're in a nonprofit.
Absolutely. So that's basically why I keep flipping us to that term educate, because we have some people who hear advocacy and automatically think political action committee, lobbyists, paid people who do this for a living. So we are talking about you as a childcare director, owner, teacher, and that you are the educator on a community level. So when and how in the state of Texas, so again, we are using Texas as the example, when and how are times for you to make a difference? If you don't already know, Texas has a legislative session on the odd years, and traditionally it's about 6 months. But that's not when all the work happens, Carrie. So what do we need to be doing right now in an even year?
So in an even numbered year in Texas, so in any place, when they're in recess is the best time to talk to the legislators. The city council members, if you just go to the city council member and try to talk at the city council meeting, you get 2 minutes. If you instead join the Rotary Club that the city council member is a part of, you can talk to them for an hour every week, or, you know, you're probably not going to get them the whole time, but you have that opportunity every week to talk to them a little bit about your issues, right? So the off time, not when they're on camera, is the best time to talk to them. So in even numbered years in the state of Texas, you need to go find out where that legislator is going to be. And you need to go plop your happy little self down in front of them, because people make decisions based on their relationships. And so if they have a relationship with you, they're much more likely to listen to what you have to say if later on you send them a text message, you send them an email, you send them a letter. And different legislators respond differently to each of those types of communication. Some legislators take it as a huge sign when there are phone calls into their office. Other people are like, the phone calls don't mean anything. I pay attention to the emails that come in. And other people are like, no. If they didn't take time to stick a stamp on an envelope, I know they didn't really care about it. So there is not a universal answer here, whether it's going to be phone calls, text messages, emails, or snail mail. When there's an actual issue in front of them at the legislature, we don't know which one it is unless you have a relationship with that legislator, and then you know that's an email person, that's a text message person. Okay, so find that out. Be their friends. Ask what you can do to help them during the off season. Okay, if you're a sports person, this is the off season, right? It's when they're training. So what can you do to help them? Because if you come in with help first, it is so much easier for them to listen to you when you're asking for help later on.
So I'm going to be in terribly just stereotypical here in the fact that one of the things that you have that almost every legislator tries to figure out how to work with is children. Right?
You know, child care?
You know, we've got access to children, right? So we have access to children. And what does that mean? That means that there's always a photo op. Okay. I know that this just seems very stereotypical, but it's true. And we've also talked for at least the last 4 years, but really Carrie and I have been talking for the last 23, about how you need to have a mailing list and how you need to be sending updates to everybody on your mailing list about all the really cool things you do at your program. You know what? That includes your legislators, state, federal, local, county, you know, all the municipalities. Because if you're doing something really, really awesome, people need to know about that. And sometimes when they know about it, they know of maybe grant opportunities, other partnership opportunities, but really they want to be involved, right? Like they want to be a part of putting in that neighborhood playground, right? Because it's a great opportunity for them to get their photo. They want to be a part of a new job program that you have with a women's shelter or about how you serve at-risk youth through your school age program. So all of these are opportunities for those legislators to come in and do a story time, do a parent meet and greet. Chances are you've got a room that in the evening could be used to host a town hall. Okay. There's all kinds of ways that you can give your legislators access to families as well as promote your program.
Yep.
It's not going to hurt you any to have your photo with a legislator, some pictures in the newspaper. Okay.
Yep. And I was saying, find out where they're going to be. One easy way to find out where they're going to be is to invite them to be at your school. Then you don't even have to go anywhere. So if you're going to have a spring fling event, invite them to come and reach out to their office. You're probably not going to get the legislator, the city council person on the phone, but you're going to get their staff and you say, hey, we're having this spring fling. We're going to be really talking about the importance of school readiness, childhood obesity, the reason that zebras are different from horses. It doesn't matter what the topic is, but if you can tie it into stuff that they talk about in their public persona and say, I'd really like it if they could come. And I do have a 10 to 15 minute speaking slot available. If they'd be interested, I expect there to be about 400 people there. So, you know, if they'd be interested, all of a sudden they're like, oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That whole, what can you offer them? Even if the answer is you're expecting 50 people. Mm-hmm. You're expecting 50 people at this event and you've got a 10 to 15 minute speaking opportunity. You'd love it if they would come in and talk to the parents.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You're not giving them an hour. You're not giving them 45 minutes. You're giving them 10 to 15 minutes. They can slot in 10 to 15 minutes. And if people disagree with them politically, they can sit through 10 to 15 minutes.
So the other thing to, yeah, and with that, remember that, you know, with all of them, and we've talked about this in the last episode as well, but sure, you do your homework. Okay, so go find them on social media. Go read their historical voting record, depending on, again, what level you're talking about as far as politician. But
look at their old ads. Good Lord.
Yeah, I mean, if you find out that they're a veteran and they've got a military background, you know what? November 11th or that week, get them to come in and read a book. Okay, they can read a story during Veterans Week. If you find out that they or someone in their family has a health issue or has had a health issue, you know what? There's always an awareness week or an awareness month. And chances are this is probably already something that hits home to them. So if you find that you have a common ground because you both had rare diseases affect children in your life or family members in your life, this is an opportunity for you to connect with them. So this is what I would call positive stalking. And I've made that term up. I don't know if it's real, but it is today. So you are going to positively stalk them and you're going to try to figure out
call it research.
Positive stalking. Just creepy enough. So anyway, so you're going to research them. You're going to find out what their interests are, where they spend their time, what are their hobbies. This doesn't mean that you're going to sit outside their house. You're not hiring a private investigator, but it does mean that you're going to try to figure out how you can connect. There is the direct route of going to their office and sitting there, sending emails, trying to get a phone call. And as Carrie mentioned, there's the indirect route where you accidentally run into them on purpose. And either way, you still need to know what their care is. So now that you've found them, Carrie, what do you do with them? Like we keep saying advocate. What does that mean? How does a director who's never done this before, they've done their research, they know that the person, you know, is an advocate for healthy living, for getting out and moving, you know, all about, you know, the community hike and bike trails.
If you don't know what to do, ask them what they know about your industry. Ask them what they know about childcare. Ask them what they know about helping kids. If it's the hike and bike trail, ask them what they know about how we get the kids active. Ask them questions. If you don't know what to tell them, ask them what they don't know. Ask them what they do know. If you're ready to talk without that, then know what are the issues affecting you. So for instance, you want to open a second location, but the zoning in your town says that you can only have a childcare center on 5-lane roads. And you know that that's dumb, because childcare centers should be on smaller side streets on one side. Like, yes, we want them to be easily accessible, so it should be possible for them to be on a big road. But most parents would prefer that their childcare be on the street off of the main street, you know, 2 buildings down, so they don't have to drive very far. But if you can't have a childcare center 2 buildings down on the side street because of city zoning, and you're talking to a city council member, that's something you guys can talk about, that you want to expand, but you're thinking you're going to have to do it in the next town because there you can get property that meets the zoning requirements. And so they're like, oh, we're going to lose out on opportunities for our community because of this zoning issue. If you're talking to the state legislators, you can be like, hey, there was a bill last legislative session that was proposed and made it through almost everything. There was one vote left that they did not take that was creating additional funds to support childcare. And so it was matching funds for the childcare block grant fund. And traditionally, Texas has matched funds from the federal government to subsidize childcare for low income, middle income, and people who are in school. But they did not do it the last legislative session. So you can talk to them about that bill and would they be willing to co-sponsor it when it is reintroduced next legislative session? And if they say, I don't know, I don't know anything about it. I don't even remember hearing about that bill. Go, great, I'll be happy to connect you with the person who was the primary sponsor. That doesn't mean you're already connected to that person. You can go onto the internet, find that primary sponsor's email and go, hi, I am Carrie Casey with ABC Childcare. And I was speaking to this legislator and they are interested in potentially being a co-sponsor of your bill. Here is their information. And then you send another email to your legislator saying, hey, I've reached out to Susan Smith and she is expecting your email asking questions about this bill. And then you're going to follow up in 2 weeks with your legislator and with the key sponsor and making sure that that connection happened. And if it doesn't, you're going to hound them until it does. So that's
all right. So as a professional, hopefully you belong to more than one and at least one childcare association. And this is your responsibility as a professional to find out what are the issues and bills that happen on the federal and state level. The advantage of being part of those associations is, you know what? They do the work for you, right? So I also think it's really important for you as a director to be a part of probably more than one association and to at least know all the associations that are in your industry in the state, because they all have
that are relevant to you. Like, don't be part of the Head Start organization if you're not in a Head Start program.
Unless there's a bunch of Head Starts in your community and you don't know anything about them.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. So yeah. So the reason I say that is because there are often an association specifically geared towards more of the privately run, and I use this term loosely, for-profit programs. Faith-based programs usually have their own association. There is an association for people who are about the research component. There's associations probably in your state for pre-K programs in school districts. And then there's out-of-school time groups. And so I'm not saying you have to be part of all of them. You can always follow all of them on social media or get on their newsletters, but that will help you understand who might have a lobbyist or a political action committee, who does advocacy, who takes the bus to the state capitol, who does letter writing campaigns, who can help you. Within after school, there is the After School Alliance, which has after school ambassadors. And they've been doing after school ambassadors for 22 years, because I've been one for 21. So they've been doing them for 22 years, and the after school ambassadors are nothing but advocates at the statewide level, sending letters to the editor and having all those kinds of tools. So go find those resources so that you don't have to do all the work, but so that you also understand all of the issues, because what may be an issue to you at a faith-based program may be very different than that of a privately run program that owns its own property, which may be very different than an out-of-school time program that's hired by a school district to run the program that may or may be a privately run program owned by or contracted with a school district. It could be a nonprofit contracted with the school district. It could be the school district themselves.
Yep. So once again, we're giving you homework. Go find at least two professional organizations that have to do with you and your area. Go find at least two of them. If you are in a Lutheran program in the state of Texas, I could give you three. There you go. Because whether you're, you know, without a problem, we could come up with them. Go find them. They exist. Become a member of them, and then pick one lawmaker at the state, federal, or local level that you're going to target as your first person to establish a relationship with and start advocating with. You don't have to do everybody who represents you, not every county commissioner, not every city council member, not every state legislator, not every federal legislator. Eventually, you may get there. But at this time, I want you to pick one person that you're going to establish a relationship with and you're going to advocate for your center and your industry with that person.
All right. So come back on our next episode and we're going to actually walk you through some of the conversations you might have with a city council member I think we're going to start with a city council member because every one of you can make that phone call.
Okay. So if you liked this episode, please like the show, follow the show, subscribe, depending on your podcasting app. You can come back to our website all the time and check the RSS feed if you want, but that's way more work than liking or following or subscribing to the show. Share it with some other people so that you don't have to do this alone and feel like I'm out here by myself as the advocate. Get a buddy and have them listen to this episode, and then you guys can do this work together. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Childcare Conversations with Kate and Carrie. Want to learn more? Check out our website at texasdirector.org. And if you've learned anything today, leave us a comment below and share the show.